Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 FY20 results conference call of SRF Limited, hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rohit Sinha of Emkay Global. Thank you, and over to you.
Good evening, everyone. I would like to welcome Mr. Rahul Jain, President and CFO of SRF Limited, and thank him for giving us this opportunity. I would now hand over the call to him for the opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you all for joining us on SRF Limited's Quarter 3 and 9-month FY20 results conference call. We will begin this call with brief opening remarks from our President and CFO, Mr. Rahul Jain, following which we will open the forum for an interactive question-and-answer session. Before we begin this call, I would like to point out that some statements made in this call may be forward-looking, and a disclaimer to this effect has been included in the earnings presentation shared with you earlier. I would now like to invite Mr. Jain to make his opening remarks.
Good afternoon, everyone, and a warm welcome to everybody present on today's call. I will initiate the call by briefly taking you through the quarter's key operational highlights, following which we will be happy to have a detailed Q&A session. I am pleased to share that we have registered a healthy performance for the quarter under review. In Q3 FY20, consolidated revenues increased to 1,850 crore by about 2%, EBITDA increased by 24% to 396 crore, and PAT increased 125% to 345 crore. During September 2019, the ordinance to allow corporates to exercise an option for lower tax rates was effective. Due to the same, our deferred tax balances have had to be restated, which has led to a one-time credit of 123.4 crore. This will lead to a lower effective tax rate going forward. The company has, however, not exercised the option available under the Act. The PAT number also excludes discontinued business operation numbers. Despite current subdued domestic and global environment, we have delivered an encouraging operating and financial performance. The growth was primarily on account of strong performance reported in the chemicals business and the packaging films business. I am glad to put forth that the Board of Directors have approved a second interim dividend at 70%, amounting to rupees 7 per share. This will lead to a cash outflow of 48.5 crore, including tax. Let me share an update on the segmental performance, beginning with our chemicals business, which comprises of fluorochemicals and specialty chemicals businesses. The specialty chemical segment has been a key growth driver for us during this quarter. As discussed in previous calls, we have been witnessing a healthy uptick in global demand for our products in the agrochemical space, especially from the overseas markets. This emanates largely out of positive upticks experienced by our customers in the LATAM market. The pharma market continues to grow at a consistent pace. We remain optimistic to deliver growth on overall revenue in the current financial year in excess of the guidance earlier. As we expand our capacities and launch new products, we are driving volumes on the back of strong demand that we are witnessing in the space and are fairly confident of maintaining the growth momentum in the next fiscal as well. Given the management's confidence in the business and its long-term growth outlook, the board has approved a proposal to set up a series of dedicated facilities to produce intermediates, which will get implemented in the next 8 to 12 months, catering to the agrochemical segment at an aggregate cost of 238 crore. Coming to the fluorochemical segment, performance was subdued owing to slowdown in the auto sector, as well as a drop in global prices of refrigerants on account of weak demand. Further, peak prices of certain chloromethane products normalized during the quarter, thereby impacting overall revenues and profitability. The recently commissioned HFC capacities at a cost of 477 crore led to a negative impact on the quarterly margin profile. As we expect to gradually ramp up volumes over the next few quarters, the operating leverage will play out, so as to lead to an expansion in the overall margins. The board also approved a capex of 65.5 crore for HFCs as phase 1 for future incremental capacities. This has been necessitated as certain equipment have long lead times and we would like to plan our future growth in the refrigerant space. Over the years, SRF has proven to be a leading global player in the segment. We have made astute investments in innovation and technology, making us one of the world's very few backward integrated players. We are well placed to further enhance our market leadership as demand scenario strengthens, which will enable us to optimally utilize our newly commissioned facilities. Moving to the packaging film business, we have delivered strong performance in both BOPET and BOPP segments during the quarter on the back of healthy demand, better plant efficiencies and improved margins. EBIT margins remain strong at 23% in Q3 as we continue to focus on improving efficiencies, expanding new product offerings and increasing contribution from value-added products. With three new BOPET lines coming on stream, two in Indonesia and one in India, we do expect normalization in margins in the ensuing quarters. Our Hungary and Thailand project sites are progressing well and should be commissioned as per schedule. I am delighted to share that packaging films business, both the DTA and SEZ sites in Indore, have been awarded the prestigious Sword of Honour by British Safety Council on November 22, 2019 in London. Each year, British Safety Council presents the award, the Sword of Honour, to companies around the world for excellence in health and safety management. SRF is proud to have demonstrated to an independent adjudication panel a proven track record of excellence in managing risks to workers' health and safety and to the environment. It is a testament that SRF is leading the global efforts to make our workplace safe, healthy and sustainable. Now on to the technical textiles business. Performance in tire cord fabric segment was subdued owing to a drop in the automotive sector sales, but by the end of December, we have witnessed a slight recovery due to the festive season. In belting fabrics, the performance was in line with expectation. Also, sales from value-added products and new products in belting fabric and polyester industrial yarn segment have contributed to the overall performance. We believe that the business performance will track GDP growth and as volumes ramp up, operating leverages play out and results of our past restructuring come into effect, these will lead to better margins in the future. Under other businesses, both coated and laminated fabric, we continue to record healthy performance in terms of sales with several new products added to the portfolio. Giving back to the community is one of our core values and building on this belief, SRF Foundation, our corporate social responsibility arm, is doing their bit in empowering students by providing them quality education through various CSR programs. Consequent to that, SRF has been conferred the 4th ICSI Institute Award, CSR Excellence Award 2019 in Best Corporate Category. Additionally, SRF Foundation has been conferred Best Partner in Digital Citizenship Award by Capgemini India, second time in a row. It is a matter of great pride when our initiatives in the CSR space are recognized by our partners. To conclude, we have established a solid multi-business entity and believe it will help us manage challenges as well as leverage opportunities effectively in the respective businesses. With major investments in place, superior R&D capabilities, and a diversified business model, we are confident of creating sustained value for all its stakeholders over the coming year. On that note, I would conclude my remarks and would be happy to discuss any questions, comments, or suggestions that you may have.
Thank
you. I would now like to ask the moderator to open the line for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question, you can press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question, you may press star and one now. The first question is from the line of Ankit Gaur from Systematix. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. First of all, congrats for good set of numbers. So my first question with regards to chemical business, you know, I just wanted to know one thing, sir. Barring impact of new HCF capacity, which has impacted our margin a bit, was the margin in line with our quarterly run rate, recent quarterly run rate?
When you look at it, Ankit, the fact is that two things have played out during the quarter with respect to the fluorochemicals business. The overall position is that two things have hit us, the depreciation impact of the recently capitalized plants on HFC, as well as the fixed costs that are related to that plant till that point of capitalization were being capitalized in that sense. Yes, to that extent, there is some reduction in overall contribution margin because of the overall lower prices of refrigerant gases and certain chloromethanes. But it has not been very significant. Other than these two elements, if that would not have been there, we would have been probably flattish.
Okay. Thank you for that. And within that, my next question with regards to after the cut of R22 in first gen, has the prices kind of moved downwards or the prices are still steep of R22? I believe R134A mainly for auto, so prices must have gone down on volume wise always. But I'm just trying to understand about R22. What's the current situation, sir?
Again, the cut comes into effect January 1.
Right.
The quarter's number don't take that into account. So okay. That is one.
I agree.
Also, the fact is that we've seen this to play out in a manner where if you are able to produce R22 for your other requirements,
right,
which we propose to do in the short to the medium term, we will still be able to sell R22.
Right.
And typically in these situations, we have seen prices to harden rather than soften.
Okay, so that must have helped in some sort of margin profile.
Also help in the sense that some of these players which will have to take that cut will probably be stocking some of the R22 for their future requirements as well.
Right. With regards to CAPEX and chemical business, this backward integration probably, I believe this is for captive purpose, right? Intermediate plant for captive purpose. Is it right to assume that way, sir? 238 crores.
Are you talking about the 65.5 crores?
No, so 238 CR, whatever CAPEX we announced in agrochemicals.
CAPEX, so the 238 CR is not with respect to the fluorochemicals business, it is with respect to the specialty chemical business.
Absolutely, sorry.
And to that extent, these are all for new products that we will be launching or already have launched the products which are, let's say, supplied from our multi-purpose plants to our customers. So this is essentially existing products that will be ramped up.
Okay, so this will be the final product probably from our plant, right? It's not for a captive purpose, which
no,
will
no,
be
these are not captive.
Okay. And my next question regards to packaging films. We have seen a substantial profitability there, expansion of profitability. I believe this is mainly because, the spread expansion, since the BOPET prices have moved downwards 10%, BOPP prices, I'm just talking about PP, polypropylene, and even PT, MEG prices have moved downwards in quarter. So has it played out that way or some inventory gain is also there?
What you are saying is right, because you would see the impact is that the overall sale value is lower. So because of which what has happened is that my sale, because the key raw material price has come down, my sales value has come down.
Okay.
But that does not mean that my margin has come down. My margin has in fact gone up because of that, from a mathematical perspective, as well as the fact that demand and supply situation has prevailed like that.
Right, and sir, would you mind...
Mr. Gaur?
There are no one-time inventory gains that have been recorded here.
Okay, my related to that question only, would you mind giving some volume growth there? What was the volume growth in packaging film business? So we'll get some idea there. Just percentage will drop.
See, again, you have to understand, I have not put up any new capacities.
Okay.
So there was no large volume growth. Whatever higher efficiencies I am talking about are incremental in nature because they have come through being able to utilize my plants more effectively and at a higher speed. There are no new incremental capacities that have kicked in.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, please limit your question to two per participant. Should you have any follow-up, request you to rejoin the queue, please. The next question is from the line of Atul Tiwari from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Thanks a lot. Sir, you mentioned to the deferred tax benefits in this quarter. And at the same time, if I got you right, you said that you have decided to stay back in the earlier tax regime and not move to the new corporate tax. So the two questions, and can you just throw some more light that why then you will have a benefit on the deferred tax account? And what should be the normalized full year tax rate we should be working with going ahead? That's my first question.
So should I first answer your first question, or you want to ask the second question also?
And the second one was if we can have gross and consolidated gross debt and cash.
Atul, let me first answer your first question. See, essentially what happened is that because of the fact that the rates have come into play from September, and this is an option, one-time option that has been given to corporates to be exercised, some of the deferred tax liabilities that I was carrying in my books will unwind in a period where I would have switched to the new tax rate. And because I would have had to then recognize those liabilities at a lower tax rate, that accounting guidance or the Ind AS Transition Facilitation Group provides the guidance that that recognition has to happen now. Based on certain projections that I have in terms of how my deferred tax liabilities and my deferred tax assets will play out. So to that extent, I have had to recognize that gain in my current quarter, despite not having opted for the lower rate. Had I opted for the lower rate, the guidance prescribes that the MAT credits that are available will have to be written off, which I am not doing.
Okay. Okay. So, sir, what is the effective corporate tax rate we should be working with, or say next year roughly?
So, Atul, my sense is that 26 to 28% should be our ETR.
Okay. And the debt numbers?
I have not got that number readily available. Atul, I'll give it to you separately. Because we don't declare our balance sheet numbers on a quarterly basis. But that number is transparent. I will be able to give it to you next time on a personal call.
Okay. And sir, okay, fine. I will come back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Umesh Patel from TCG Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Congratulations to the management. Just a couple of questions related to packaging segment. So do you think that, this ADD abolishment on PTA will benefit industry as well as US, the company will avail, you know, PTA at competitive price? And what is the pricing difference between imported and domestic product as of now?
Anti-dumping duty was roughly about $25.
Yeah.
So to that extent, very low impact. But for us, it was no impact in any case because the PTA that we were using was in an SEZ and we were in a duty-free environment. For the industry as a whole, there will be a small positive, marginal.
Okay, and sir, related to BOPP and BOPET market, what is the market condition? Do you see any oversupply as of now? And what is the sustainable EBITDA margin that do we see in FY21?
Again, I can't give you the EBITDA margin number. What I can tell you is that given the fact that as of now the demand supply scenario seems to be well managed, the demand is kind of outstripping, so supply still outstrips demand, but this is what I'm talking from a BOPET segment perspective, but given the fact that new capacities have got added, we believe that there will be some tapering in the margin. Again, I would like to inform you that we have a value-added product profile which is much larger than some of our competitors. Hmm. And to that extent, we should continue to deliver superior margins. That's something that I can guide you on. But I cannot give you a number in terms of a sustainable margin.
Sure, sir. Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Atishray Malan from Drone Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Just two questions from my side. The first one, I just want to clarify, has the production of HFO-1234YF and R467 started?
So again, for 1234YF, we have not started commercial production. We have already indicated that for 1234YF, we have established technology and a pilot. There are no commercial requirements for 1234YF and therefore not doing any commercial supplies. 467 is a blend, and to that extent, whenever there is a requirement, there is supplies that happen. Now those are very low.
Okay, thanks. And my second one is, I guess the growth of the specialty chemicals business is indicative of the ingenuity of the R&D team. But in your own words, can you explain the competitive advantage that SRF has over, let's say, like another a Chinese or a European solution provider that a client would pick SRF over these other companies?
Start explaining that USP, that will take an hour to give you the explanation. Probably not the right thing to do on the call. Maybe on a separate thing we can do this, because if I start doing that, then this entire call will go into the USP only.
Okay, thank you. I think I'll come back in queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohan Gupta from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, good evening. Sir, first question on this CapEx which you mentioned of for 238 crore for one of the existing products you are increasing the capacity. Is this the order which you have got, is that diversion from some of the existing supplier to your customer which you have got, or is the increase in end product demand which the customer is sensing?
No, Rohan, could you just repeat? I didn't hear it clearly.
Sir, the CapEx which you are doing for the existing product in agrochemical, 238 crore, the new CapEx which you're talking. I just want to understand that whether this CapEx, the order which you have got, it has been moved from some other supplier to your end customer to you, or it is increased in end product demand from your customer end?
I don't know whether my customer is buying it from me other than from someone else, that I don't know. What I can tell you is, we've seen traction on certain products. It is not a single CapEx, it's a series of dedicated plants that we are putting up. And there are about 3 or 4 or 5 different products that we can produce in these series of plants. These are products that we've already supplied batch quantities and certain quantities from our multipurpose plants, and those are now getting into contracts and being supplied to the customers.
Okay, so this is not a single product. You can make 4, 5 or multiple products on this plant.
Not a single plant. It is not a single product.
Oh, okay. And with keeping in mind asset turn same to 1.5 to 2x for this opportunity?
Never giving you asset turns on specialty chemicals business. You make your own judgment on asset turns.
Okay. Sir, second question on this China impact of the virus. So we are getting into season now for our floor spa purchase or ref gas. Do you see that there can be any implication or rising question on availability of floor spa or rising prices of floor spa? How you see that?
Okay, so the answer to that is that floor spa is not only Chinese floor spa that we use. So there is no restriction in our products to be using only Chinese floor spa. So we have other sources of floor spa available. Floor spa availability is from South Africa, Russia, Kenya, a couple of other locations as well. So we are not restricted to Chinese, so we don't see the threat on coronavirus impacting our supplies of floor spa. That's one. And second, the impact on the US season for coronavirus, it's too early to predict in that sense.
Okay, and sir, just third, the related only from the source, only on the ref gas. So when the season starts and we have seen that China has been dumping a lot of gas in India, and with the production getting impacted there in the current scenario, do you see that there is an opportunity to increase the gas prices when the season starts for us in March onward in India?
See, the season has already begun. So always what happens is the season is probably one quarter prior to the summer months, right? Mm. So as I said, our new capacities are in place well in time. We should be in a position to ramp them up over the next 3, 4, 5 quarters, whatever that means. Also, the fact is, while there was some gas that was being imported from China, I think there is an impact in terms of whether they will stop the dumping. It will still continue. We have good cost structures in place. We will be able to manage the domestic market and be able to compete with the Chinese in the international market as well.
Okay, sir. Thanks. If I have a follow-up question, I'll come back in queue. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ayush P. from Equitas Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Sir, just wanted to understand on the packaging business, you mentioned that BOPET segment, you might see some reduction in margins. And so what is the situation on the BOPP side?
Yeah, BOPP is slightly better off. I don't see a significant impact on the margins, because in any case, BOPP for a long time has been suffering because of a negative demand supply situation. That seems to be bettering off as of now, and we believe it will continue the way it is as of now.
Okay. And any kind of impact of the whole a virus situation in China that might affect the packaging sector, because I believe there are significant packaging film capacities in China that get exported, right? So any advantage we could get out of it?
Possible to comment on the impact of coronavirus today. It's not possible, please.
Okay, okay, no problem. Thank you, sir. That's it.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sudesh Gupta from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, thanks for taking my questions. Just on refrigerant business, what you were telling to the previous participant, I just want to check if, so you said that this quarter there was a demand supply impact on the refrigerant side, which had margins kind of getting impacted because of that. And then you also say that next 3 to 5 quarters, you expect the refrigerant capacity to ramp up meaningfully over the next 3 to 5 quarters. So where is the difference? And I think earlier also you said that the doubling of capacity could get fully utilized in the next, let's say, 18 to 24 months. So why there is an oversupply situation, and why do you believe that this is more of an intermittent thing, 1 or 2 quarters? So just some clarification there.
I never said that there was an oversupply situation. I never said that there was an oversupply situation.
No, I mean, you said demand supply. Demand has been weak is what you said, right? So
demand has been weak because of the 134A demand being weak because of the auto supplies.
Okay.
There is no weakness in demand on the refrigerant side on 32 and blends.
Okay.
Right? So that is one. And the second question that you asked was?
No, so the second question is the same thing. Your R134A capacity has increased by 50%. Let's say at least 50% is what your R134A capacity is increased by. So then, what's the outlook for R134A volume growth rate? Do you see it to mimic how the auto volumes pan out? I'm sure you would have been looking to gain market share from somewhere. So to that extent, what's the guidance from next 3 to 4 quarters? I mean, what's the outlook from in next 4 quarters point of view?
Again, the R134A demand, from our perspective, last quarter, there were some delays in the US orders. Some of those are now being executed. To that extent, there should be better volumes in the next quarter. But again, when we look at it, I think one of the key things that we need to watch is how obviously the auto sector pans out. And to that extent, 134A will be directly linked to that demand. As there is more, let's say, hotter months that come through, the demand on the secondary market also ramps up significantly. We believe we are well positioned to leverage that, given our distribution network.
And just on the margin side, on the chemicals margin side, if I understand correctly, it's most of the impact in the quarter is primarily because of refrigerant business and specialty chemical ramp up because of operating leverage as has been as per plan. I mean, there's no drop in gross margins of specialty chemicals per se.
No, there has been no drop in gross margins. But again, as I said, the impact on the overall chemicals business is because of the fact that we had capitalized our HFC product in October. To that extent, some of the fixed cost impact and the depreciation impact has to be, let's say, taken up over a period of time, which will give us better margins.
And that's and yes, just last one. So because I was looking at a gross profit growth of only 17%, now it also means that somewhere gross profit, I mean, is it that the new capacity also means that there could be some raw material wastages, etc., because you, when you start new capacities, there could be some issues because of that? Because gross profit growth of 17% was actually, I mean, it shows that there, apart from operating leverage also, there was a, because I think most of your like chemical specialties has grown really well. So ideally, the gross profit growth could have been a bit higher at a consolidated level. So is there some impact because of new plant on the, maybe some raw material wastage, etc., which also have?
Not really, not very significant. There could be some, but not significant.
Okay, thank you so much.
And I don't know where you are calculating the gross profit from. The numbers probably only give you the EBIT margins.
No, I'm looking at overall gross profit growth of 17%. So if specialties have grown really well, and if chemicals and packaging, if it has grown really well, ideally gross profit.
It is pretty much diversified. So it is not a single component of that business that I can give you gross profit details of.
Got it, sir. We'll take it offline. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankur Periwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Clarifying on this 238 crore capex for the agro intermediary that we are doing, and combining it with your comment earlier, in the call, wherein you mentioned that for FY20, our specialty chemical business growth guidance remains intact, and the same will continue going ahead as well. From a capacity availability point of view,
let me just caution you here. When I said that, it doesn't mean that it will grow again at 40 to 50%. I'm saying the growth guidance remains. The number on that growth guidance, I will come back to you only in May. So let me just caution you and clarify that.
Sure, sure. So this 238 crore capex, we will see the revenue contribution coming in starting FY22 only, largely, or maybe Q4 of next financial year.
It should get completed in FY21, so FY22 is probably when the ramp up will happen.
Sure. And any incremental thoughts on the capex for the specialty business perspective that you mentioned will be only in the month of May, is it?
Yeah. But we will be able to give you more clarity on both guidance, capex, for the next year, only in the next call.
Sure. And sir, a second question on the margin, although it partially got addressed, but just clarifying. Now, given that specialty growth, specialty chemical growth would have been much faster given the slowdown in, fluorochem, and operating leverage also playing out there, the margin expansion should have been there, but it got nullified or probably negated because of the depreciation, etc., the cost and the one-time cost. So the fixed cost that you mentioned coming into the quarter.
Correct.
So what I wanted to clarify was the chemical margin, specifically expansion here, would have been healthy enough given the top line revenue growth. It's just the other part of the business which got impact, which led to the margin decline.
That's what I said earlier also.
Sure. That's helpful. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mittal Dixit from Shubhkam Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. So just a clarification on this. You mentioned that there will be series of these plants. So can we assume that every quarter you will be announcing, or maybe every 6 months you will be announcing this kind of capex for this?
I can't assume that. How can you assume it? I don't think that is a fair assumption to make.
No, just what is the time frame in which you plan to actually put up these plants?
Mr. Mittal, just hear me out. The fact is that as we get more clarity, as we get more ability on newer molecules that will be developed over a period of time, we will keep putting up new plants is the standard guidance that we have. And as that happens, we will keep communicating that to you. Today, assuming that we will keep putting up 250 crores of new plants each quarter is pretty much very far-fetched.
Okay. And secondly, sir, you mentioned in your initial remarks that you will be exceeding the guidance this year. So can you quantify that?
Stay happy with what I have told you. That's it.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Surya Patra from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question, sir. Sir, just one clarification on the fluoro specialty business mix. So the agri intermediate business, whenever that we mention, whether it is significantly different from the fluoro compound what we talk about or fluoro specialty that we talk about?
I am not able to figure your question, Mr. Patra.
Yeah, so this agri intermediate, when we mention, is it away from the fluoro compound that we develop at the cost, means customized compound that we develop for the clients?
Again,
or both are same that you mean to say?
I still don't understand your question, Surya. Maybe you can ask it separately. I am not able to figure out.
So basically what I'm trying to understand again, sir, this quarter, say this fluoro specialty should be one of the best ever quarter possibly, fluoro specialty revenue mix percentage wise in the chemical business. And since the refrigerant business is relatively weaker, so sequentially that should have been a kind of there should have been some improvement in the gross margin level. see, on the overall margin level or EBIT level, that would be obviously the impact of the depreciation, all that would be there. But
you don't look at it on a quarter-on-quarter perspective. You are comparing Q2 versus Q3, that is why the challenge.
Yeah, yeah, correct.
Look at it from a last year perspective and Q3 last year, this year perspective, you will find even there the margin expansion has happened. I have also told you in no less words that the amount of impact of the capitalization of new plant due to fixed cost and depreciation is something that has led to lower margins in the fluorochemicals business, which should correct over a period of time. What more I can tell you, I don't understand.
No, so actually I was looking at the gross margin numbers, so that's why. On the R32, currently are we exporting to US, and whether the likely anti-dumping duty, which is when there is a petition filed that the dumping from China side would be considered, then whether that will help us in exporting R32 to US?
Doesn't really, the anti-dumping especially does not make us any more competitive or uncompetitive. Depending upon the requirement of the customer, we should be able to do some volumes. But again, as of now, R32 is ramping up pretty much to at a very fast pace, and therefore we are looking to sell as much as we can.
Okay. And on the track, just one question on clarification.
Sir, but for any follow-up, request you to rejoin the queue, please.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from IDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. Sir, on the SpecChem business, is there a little bit of seasonality in the business, in the sense of, typically because it's been the holiday season in the Western countries, do we have a bunching up of orders typically happen in Q4, or there's no phenomenon like this we've developed or witnessed in our business?
Again, I have said this multiple times. When you look at the specialty chemicals business, it is not a business that you need to look at on a quarter-on-quarter basis. It is more an annualized business that you need to look at, because of the fact that multiple products that we do are done in as batches, and to that extent inventorized at some point in time and sold at some point in time. So I don't think it is a phenomenon of holiday season or non-holiday season. The fact is that the business cannot be looked at on a quarter-on-quarter basis.
Fair enough, sir. And so secondly, on the packaging side, we've done extremely well over the last three odd quarters on the margin front. You've guided to some softness in the BOPET margins going forward. But structurally, on a 2 to 3 year view, how should we look at this business? I mean, this improvement in gross margin, the EBIT margin that we've witnessed over the last two or three quarters, is it a sustainable newer level for the business to sustainably grow at from now on?
Again, growth in revenues will depend on how much capacity that you can put in, right? It's a function of capacity. Now, but on the flip side, more capacities that come in will also have a negative impact on the overall margins of the business. I cannot give you a sustainable percentage number on the EBIT margin or the EBITDA margin. What I can tell you is, as long as we are able to make sure that the volumes and plant efficiencies can be driven, the right product mix can be created, and to the extent I can sell more value-added products, the margin shall be superior to other competitors. What will be that number is something that I cannot tell you.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tejas Sheth from Nippon India Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, Rahul. Two questions. On the refrigerant, typically, whenever the phase-out happens, we see steep increase in prices. Are we seeing that in R22, considering that the phase-out has started from January onwards?
There are some increase in prices that have happened, Tejas. To a certain extent, there are certain, let's say, stockings happening by certain OEMs. As this phenomena pans out, what you are saying is right. In the past, we have experienced it like that. How will this one pan out, I really don't know. But yes, in the past, what you're saying is right, we've experienced it like that.
Yeah, because
the only good thing is that we have the ability to use R22 in other downstream processes. So to that extent, my impact of lower R22 volumes will be, over the short to medium term, pretty much insignificant.
No, that I agree. I just wanted to understand that the loss on the volume side can be compensated with the value increase or the realization increase. So are we seeing
R22 is also finding certain alternate uses in agro and pharma. So to that extent, we have not seen a negative on, around that.
Okay. Okay. My second question is on the packaging film side, typically, what would be the spread difference between the value-added products and the commodity products, like 12 microns products? Is it something which is 1.3x, 1.4x kind of number, 30-40% higher than the commodity spread?
For each value product, value-added product, depending upon the amount of value-add that you do, the difference could be between 8 to 20 rupees per kg.
Per kg. Okay, fine. And lastly, this 65 crores of capex which you are doing in HFC. Is this something which is a new blend or some new application market? Because we have already expanded the capacity recently.
During the call also, I had said that we, as a business, we need to keep expanding the capacity for the products that we have HFCs. We will be continuously looking at what we need to do. So this is a product, this is something that we are doing to manage long lead times of certain things. We believe 32 is ramping up at a faster pace than we had initially expected. And to that extent, we are putting in more capacity on that side.
Okay, so this is for 32?
Not necessarily, all the HFCs. So there is some balancing that we are doing so that we can get better efficiencies out of the plant as well.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Mehta from Valem Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. So I just wanted to understand, you mentioned that are we going to achieve the guidance you have given for the specialty of business this year?
Could be.
Okay, okay. And so secondly, I just wanted to understand how much window do you have to, in terms of your purchase orders which you receive from your customers for you to manage your inventory? Is it 6 months, 9 months?
Sorry, you will have to repeat the step or do something else. There is a lot of background noise.
Yeah. How much visibility do you have, sir, in terms of the orders you get from customers?
Mr. Mehta, can you speak closer to the handset,
please? I am not able to hear you.
Okay. I'll rejoin the speech. That's it from my side.
Sure. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sumant Kumar from Motilal Oswal Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. For the agrochemical segment, the performance was better due to Brazil and LATAM. So there is a flood in Brazil. So have we seen any demand side problem?
We have seen uptick from our customer side where they are supplying to the LATAM market.
Okay.
I am not supplying to that market. I am probably a one step behind where my customer is supplying to that market.
Okay.
There may be some parts in Brazil that have got impacted by the flood that you're talking about, but I don't think there is a significant impact in that sense.
Okay. And if you have given guidance for CapEx in Q2 for FY20, 10 to 11 billion and FY21, 7 billion, so we are maintaining that?
The CapExes that have been recently announced are more, let's say, being incurred, very small amounts being incurred in this fiscal. Most of it will get incurred in the next fiscal only. So these are more capexes tuned to the next fiscal.
Okay. So what can we assume for the FY20 and 21, the capex?
Probably better visibility can be given in the next call.
Okay. Thank you so much.
800, 850 is something that we've already sanctioned. So roughly around that plus some, maybe 100, 200. We don't know. As of now, we will be able to give you better clarity in the May call.
For FY21?
FY21, yes.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rangan Venki from Brilliant Securities. Please go ahead.
Very good set of number. I would like to know whether there is any capitalization of the fixed assets. And what about that interest portion? How you are going to getting reduced over the period next year? Huh? Then the chemical business, packaging films and technical textile, this one 20%, 40%, 40%. And over a period of next 3 years, 2 years, what will be the share of each one? And what will be the export in each segment? That's all.
The first question that you asked was how will you reduce the interest component in our profitability?
Yes.
The answer to that is as our cash flows grow, our overall debt profile will mature out where my debt will be lower, and to that extent my interest outgo will be lower. I did not understand the 20-40-40. If you could repeat that piece, please.
20%, I mean segment revenue. I mean, segment revenue, I mean, it's coming to 1,000 crores in technical textile, chemical business in, 2,000 crores, packaging film is 2,000 crores for the 9 months. And what will be, I mean, over the every year segment, it will be 40% from chemical business, 40% from packaging like that, 20% technical like that. Any
from an overall perspective, you have to understand that my chemical business, we are investing a lot of sum. So to that extent, the growth in my chemical business over a 2 to 3 year period will be higher. Packaging films, as our new lines get commissioned, there will be step up growth that will come through. I cannot give you a linear number in terms of growth on any of these.
Capitalization of asset, I mean the interest in the assets, you know, you do anything? Is there? The interest.
Capitalization, the point of capitalization, interest gets capitalized as per accounting requirements, post-capitalization. No interest gets capitalized.
Okay. Thanks. Export percentage in each segment?
No, I can't give you segment by segment. Technical textiles is a more segment that is domestic focused. The packaging film segment roughly has about 50 to 60% of exports, and it also sells from our Thailand and South Africa units. Now the Hungary unit is also coming up. And the specialty chemicals business is more focused on exports. 80 to 90% gets exported. Fluorochemicals has both focus on domestic and exports.
Okay. Packaging film business also?
I said it gets exported from the SEZ, some of it from the domestic tariff area, as well as from our Thailand and South Africa units, plus the exports that will come through or generate out of the Hungary unit that is coming up.
Now that the budget has come, the dividend can be increased because you can reduce the taxation for the promoters. That you can think over a period of next month, 1 month. This is my advice.
There is a separate dividend policy that is in place.
Yeah, I agree. But because now already you have got a portion 6 months, I mean February and August you give like that. This you are getting March, you know, we have to pay more 42% the promoters next year if you declare. If you declare now only 30%, no? So you can just increase the, during the February like that.
I have already given you the guidance that even in the second interim dividend that we have declared is about 7 rupees per share, 70%. We stuck to what for a period of time. Whatever is the what dividend policy and the board permits, we will take a call accordingly in the future years. I cannot tell you today whether my dividend is increasing or decreasing.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manvardhan Baid from Laurel Wealth Advisors. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on a good set of numbers. So can you give us some color on the client concentration on the specialty chemical side, like the top 5, top 10 clients and the concentration from a revenue perspective?
See, again, when I talk about customer concentration, the fact is that the agrochemical segment only has 4 or 5 large agrochemical players in the world. Now, to that extent, there will be some pure customer concentration that we have. But when you look at it, the relationship that exists is single product to multiple customers and multiple products to single customers. So when you look at it from that perspective, the customer concentration does not have a significant impact. But purely when you look at it from a perspective, how many customers, how many in your entire kitty, there are only 4 or 5 major agro players in the world. And to that extent, there will be some customer concentration.
Okay. And so from quarterly perspective and let's say business that we get from the products that are there in the specialty chemicals and to the customers that we are supplying those products to, how variable is that part? Is there a linearity in that or does that shift materially every quarter?
See, again, as I said, the business is focused on providing solutions to the customers in terms of what their requirements are, both present and future. And to that extent, what happens is that we get certain contracted sales And those contracts are typically a 2 to 3 year period based on purchase orders. And to that extent, you can say that there is some linearity. But it also depends on the relationship with the customer in terms of what new products can I supply to him, what are his future launches that I will get associated with him for. In certain cases, we've seen that to be very, very significant, and we have engaged with the customer like that.
Fair enough. So can you break up the contracted sales to the non-contracted sales for us?
Possible.
No. Okay. Thank you so much. Best of luck for the future.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Riju Dalai from Quantum Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for the opportunity, sir. So my question is that just for one clarity I have, that is, you know, on the tax side. So if I look at the 9 month FY20 tax, so that is negative 27 crores. So how much tax we can expect for the full year basis, means FY20 basis?
Sir, when you look at this, you also look at the notes to accounts. And
yeah,
under note 8, what you will find is that we've given clarification in terms of how the negativity has come through. So now what you are talking about is a negative tax adjustment of 27 crores that has happened. A 9 month period. Now when you look at it, what has happened here is that there were certain income tax positions that we had taken. Those income tax positions have now been affected into the accounts as my... So when we do the income tax filings, there are certain assumptions that we have taken in FY19 when we are closing our tax accounts, our accounting books. As the income tax returns get filed, there are certain positions that we have taken. The adjustment of that is being made here.
Okay, got it. In notes to accounts that you have mentioned that 123 crores of on account of the measurement of deferred tax balances that you have adjusted for this quarter, and so this my clarification is that like in Q4 this kind of situation will be there, or like we will pay some kind of taxes
one time. It is not that I am not paying tax. My cash tax is still being paid at MAT.
Yes. So that would be around 25% odd.
MAT is 17.5%.
Okay.
I will be paying MAT, but there will be the MAT credit that gets accumulated and the tax position that gets created because of it.
Okay, got it. And sir, you said that for FY21, we can, you know, expect 26-28% kind of tax rate for the full year basis.
Yes, and to that extent, what I am talking is standalone.
Okay. To standalone.
On a consolidated picture basis, because consolidated, there are certain tax exemptions available to the offshore entities.
Okay, got it, sir. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajiv Gupta from RBC Financial. Please go ahead.
Just wanted some... information on the Hungary plant you said is coming up. When do you expect that to be commissioned? And what is the capacity, if you could throw some light?
Roughly about 40,000 tons of BOPET film, which will likely commission end of March, early April.
And how much as a percentage term would it add to your capacity today?
My total BOPET capacity is roughly about, just give me a second.
1.75.
So my total BOP PET capacity is about 1.75 lakh tons, 1,75,000 tons. It will add about 40,000 tons to it.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Dagli from HDFC Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity.
I just want to clarify. It is 1.15 lakh tons BOPET capacity.
Mr. Dagli, you may go ahead with your question.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. The QOQ jump that we've seen, quarter-over-quarter jump that we've seen in depreciation, is it largely in the chemicals business? Is that a fair assumption?
That's right.
Okay. And what explains this YOY jump in the other expense line item, sir? Is that because of the new accounting standard where part of it has got Actually, that should have been the other way around. So what explains this sharp jump in the other expense line item, sir?
There is no jump here. What are you? There is an incremental.
Sir, on a standalone basis, it was 108 crores, in the third quarter last year, and it is 123 crores. Personal expenses. Personal expenses. 108 crores has gone to 123 crores. Is this the
people have got added again? As I told you,
new plant
expenses have gone up. Increments would have come through. All of that.
Okay, so fair point. And just the last bit, sir, how should we think about the subsidiaries PAT? You know, this has been growing for the past few years. On this base also, do you think we should think about this subsidiaries as a growth piece?
Again, Chirag, the fact is that today when you look at it, the subsidiaries are effectively those that are packaging film subsidiaries. As there will be more capacity that will get installed and commercialized, there will be some growth on that side, but it will remain subject to margins of that business at that point in time.
Can you indicate the Thailand capacity that we are adding, sir?
Adding roughly about 40,000 tons. So same 40,000 tons, two lines, but for Thailand, we have also sanctioned another BOPP line, which is another 40,000 tons, which comes up in 21.
Okay. And again, this BOP, BOPET also by March 20?
BOPET is by September.
By September. All right. Thank you so much. Best of luck.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Asha Chaudhary from Systematics Group. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible, sir?
Yes, please.
Two, three questions I have. Was there any loss in our technical textile business? Was there any inventory loss in this quarter?
There was some, about 6-7 crores.
Okay. Second question on our expansion plan for Spectrum, 238 crore rupees of expansion. Would it be at the, this would be at Dashland, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So after this expansion, will we be having any further land available for us for more expansion there, or?
We believe that 2 years, there is no land challenge for our chemicals expansion at Dahej.
All right. And last one, sir, we said this will be implemented in next 8 to 10 months. So was this about the was this about that this will be operational in next 8 to 10 months, or how should we see?
So, when I said 8 to 12 months, I meant because it is a series of plants, some will get commercialized by 8 months, some by 12 months.
Okay, that is it. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for being on the call. We would be happy to answer any other questions that you have separately, and we look forward to your continued support in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Emkay Global Financial Services, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.